everybody, welcome to the SA Dropkicks Wrestling Podcast. My name is KG Sirache. With me as always is Eugene, and in this episode we're going to address the WWE Survivor Series pay-per-view happening this evening, emanating from Brooklyn, New York's Barclays Center. We're going to look at the matches on this card, we're going to discuss the feuds, and of course present our predictions as always, and also discuss why on earth Austin Theory is in the men's Survivor Series team for Raw, and AJ Styles is stuck in some weird battle royal. Like, what's going on with that? Right? We're going to discuss all of those things coming in the episode. Okay. Survivor Series weekend. And I got to be honest with you, man. This has maybe been the worst build to a Survivor Series pay-per-view that I've ever experienced. I'm not sure if you'll agree with me. Because, like, remember back in 2018 when Survivor Series really felt like a big deal? Where Raw would come on SmackDown and attack all the SmackDown superstars, and there'd be this huge invasion angle, and there'd be, like, it would be treated like a big thing. Like if you're on Raw and you didn't win Survivor Series, it was massive. If you're on SmackDown and you didn't win, like, the whole brand loyalty, brand pride thing was a massive deal. And now it's just like, oh, well, we have a pay-per-view, so why not just do it?
I hear you, but it has become tradition. It has come to what we expect it to be, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, in 2018, like, yeah, the invasions were awesome. Can you remember when? That's the time when Becky's face got busted, right?
Yeah. Like, she showed up on Raw. She showed up on Raw. She stared down the woman in the ring. At first, she attacked Ronda Rousey backstage. She put Ronda Rousey in the submission. Then she walked down the ramp. And then she attacked the Raw superstars. And then Nia Jax put her in her place.
Yeah, it made for, like, it added more to it. Like, now I hear you why it doesn't seem like that. But these matches that we have this year are big themselves, you know. Even if there hasn't been invasion like there was in the past, I'd say these matches are still quite big, you know.
Okay, yeah, okay. I see that. We got big names on this card. Let's start with the matches. At first, we have this 25-man battle royal, which I didn't even know was a thing.
Yeah, that recently got announced like 2 days ago, I think. I think it has to do about honoring The Rock or something like that. 25 years of The Rock, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Well, why didn't they get The Rock on the show? Goodness me.
I don't know.
Imagine if you showed up. Imagine if you showed up. Like, that would be crazy. That's the one thing that would make this pay-per-view, like, noteworthy. But anyway, we've got a 25-man battle royal. I don't even know who's in the battle royal. Oh, okay. So we've got participants in this battle royal. We've got AJ Styles, Angel, Angelo Dawkins, Apollo Crews, Cedric Alexander, Cesaro, Chad Gable, Commander Aziz, Dolph Ziggler, Drew Gulak, Eric, Humberto, Iva, Jinder Mahal, Mansoor, Montez Ford. How do you put AJ Styles in this match? Bro, AJ Styles. Why isn't AJ Styles?
Remember, he doesn't have any title, bro. He's not holding any title. You have to
put him on the Raw team. Put him on the Raw team. You have Austin Theory on the Raw team. Austin fucking.
Oh,
Austin bloody Theory.
That was a late replacement, bro. That was literally a late replacement.
You have.
I hear you, though. I hear you.
Bro, this lineup's going to make me swear, and I don't want to swear. I don't want to cuss.
Oh, let it out.
Bro, Austin Theory is on this team, and AJ Styles is stuck in the Jobber Battle Royal.
That bothers you deeply.
That bothers me, because AJ Styles is one of my all-time favorites. And like, you have Ricochet, Bobby, Robert Roode, Sami Zayn, Shelton Benjamin. These are all great in-ring performers. I would accept any one of these guys over Austin Theory in this Survivor Series men's team.
Hey, remember Sami Zayn lost, bro. He lost his match on SmackDown.
I don't
he
care.
Lost his chance, so...
Sometimes you don't have to win a match to prove that you're good enough to be in the team. AJ Styles does not have to win a stupid match on Raw to prove that he belongs on the team. He's AJ Styles.
I hear you.
I'm not going to lie, though.
Maybe he'll win it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, bro, I'm not going to lie. If AJ Styles doesn't win this thing, then I don't know. And also, I'm going to lose it. Team Raw looks good, though. Team Raw's got Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley. Team Raw looks great, bro.
And
Austin Theory.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't know what the hell's going on with this company. But we've got Team SmackDown on the other hand. Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, King Woods, Happy Corbin. My goodness me. And Sheamus.
That's probably the worst SmackDown team I've ever heard.
Bruh. This team looks okay, but not as good as the Raw team. The Raw team has, like, the entire team, except for Austin Theory, is a former world champions. Seth Rollins is a former world champion. Finn Balor is a former Universal champion. Kevin Owens is a former Universal champion. Bobby Lashley is a former WWE champion. On this Raw team, this Raw team's only got three. We got three former world champions. Sheamus, Jeff Hardy, and Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, I think it's always been like that, though, when it comes to Survivor Series matches.
Yeah.
SmackDown has always not been a strong team for me, you know, over the years. Because Raw look like, if you look at past Survivor Series, Raw has always had a very strong team.
Yeah, and I think it comes from the draft. Because, like, if you look at the draft, look who Raw picks in the draft, and then look who SmackDown picks.
Yeah, that is true. But then, there are many other superstars that could have made it other than Happy Corbin, you know.
Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe WWE thinks he's getting over. He's not. By the way, WWE officials, Happy Corbin... Happy Corbin is not over. Anyone from the WWE, if you're listening to me, if you're part of the writing team, please note this. Happy Corbin is not over. We don't want him on our screens. If he shows up on my screen, I'm changing the channel.
I don't know why what's happening with Corbin, you know. Like, he's a very good wrestler, but I'm not buying this whole gimmick of the Happy Corbin. I bet it must be annoying for him to have to laugh every single time.
That's crazy. Let's move on to the second match before I mean, we were talking about the 25-man Battle Royal. We've talked about the men's Survivor Series elimination match. Let's go to the women. On Team Raw.
Yeah, who do you expect to win the match, though?
I think Team Raw's gonna dump. Team Raw. Like, I don't even... If Team SmackDown wins, I'm gonna lose my mind. Team Raw is gonna...
That's crazy, then. Something's going on.
Yeah. Let's go to the women's match. So, we've got Team Raw, which has Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Queen Zelina.
Yeah, for me, those last two...
Again.
Weakness there.
Again. And then we've got Team SmackDown, Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi, Natalya, and Toni Storm. This one's a bit tougher, though. But I'm going to go with SmackDown. Yeah. Right off the bat, I'm going to go with SmackDown. Yeah.
I was going to go with SmackDown, too, because... Just because if you look who's on Team Raw, like, they have Rhea, they have Bianca, and they have Liv, right? And then Carmella and Queen Zelina, I'm not really too sure about them. When you look at SmackDown, like, from top to bottom, it's pretty decent, you know? They have The Boss, they have Shotzi, they have Natalya.
Toni Storm as well.
Exactly. So they're looking better equipped to win than Raw, because Raw's gonna, I have to say, rely on three wrestlers, where compared to SmackDown, they can rely on everyone. And Shotzi is really, I'm liking this heel turn, you know?
I like it as well. It does, like, not every NXT call-up has to show up on Monday Night Raw and be like, hi, nice to meet you, my name is this. No, you don't have to show that respect. Sometimes you can arrive on the main roster and just make enemies and do your thing and just, you know, not kiss butt, if I can put it lightly. And so I like the heel turn. And then Toni Storm, like, have you seen Toni Storm wrestle? Maybe not in NXT, but like,
bro, you'd be surprised. I actually watched a lot of Toni Storm wrestling, bro.
This woman can go. This woman is, bro, the way that she's been presented in the WWE, she's not allowed to show who she is. This woman can wrestle. Like, I'll go back and watch some of her stuff in Stardom. She used to wrestle in Stardom in Japan. Bro, her and Io Shirai. Okay. Her and Io Shirai. They would put on some of the best matches in women's wrestling in Stardom. I'll send you some of the links. This woman can wrestle. She can go. And if WWE are gonna, like, she should be in the main event. She can easily be in the main event.
They pushing her like she's just, I think they're booking her with Charlotte Flair after Survivor Series, if I'm not mistaken.
I did see the confrontation, which is a good sign, I guess. But anyway,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Toni Storm has been on Survivor Series before. You remember with NXT?
Yeah, I actually remember that. That was a pretty cool Survivor Series pay-per-view, because NXT, I felt like, added a lot to the...
Yeah, that was 2019.
Yes.
Yeah, that was my favorite one, because NXT got involved, you know? So they just added...
And because I think everyone wanted NXT. Also, yeah. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Yeah. Sorry.
Continue what you're saying.
I'm saying also having NXT made that sort of pay-per-view feel more important. Like, it was really about who's the better brand. It was really about which brand is the best. Whereas now, NXT is basically back to developmental. And, you know, when NXT won that Survivor Series, I honestly thought it was going to mean that they would be a proper third brand. I thought it was going to be a legit third brand. And now, they basically went back to developmental now. It's crazy to think about it.
And Rhea Ripley was also part of that NXT women's team, and Bianca. So
yeah, and now they're both on Raw. No, it's crazy. So do we agree on SmackDown winning the women's match?
Oh yeah, it's gonna take something special for Raw to win.
Yeah,
and that special might be called Rhea Ripley. Not gonna lie.
Rhea is something else, isn't she? Let's move on to the third match. And this is the champion. This is the beginning of the champions versus champions match. Damian Priest, the United States champion, who's been pretty solid. He's looking good on Raw. Versus, and I can't believe I had to remind myself that Shinsuke Nakamura is the Intercontinental champion. I had to look it up.
His title run is, I'm not gonna say it hasn't been great. They haven't done anything with it, you know.
Yeah. I had to Google Intercontinental Championship for me to see, oh, it's Shinsuke Nakamura is the current champion.
But you knew who the United States champion is,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's crazy. I mean, who do you see winning that one?
I want to say Shinsuke. I want Shinsuke to win.
I'm going to go with Damian Priest. I feel Damian Priest is on fire at the moment.
But do you see how they changing Damian Priest now?
Like, yeah, I saw the makeup. I saw the theme, the brand new entrance. It's looking pretty good. I thought the entrance would suck. Because, like, remember his first entrance? I love that. I love that entrance. I thought this one would suck. It's not that bad. It's growing on me.
Yeah, if anything, it's kind of, it's growing on you. It grows on you.
Yeah. It ain't that bad. I'm not too mad about that. And so you going with Shinsuke? I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go with Damian Priest because the guy's on fire.
Oh, you know what? Man, Shinsuke was the Intercontinental Champion at the last Survivor Series as well.
Crazy. I didn't think of... Oh, yeah, who did he face? I don't remember. I can only remember 2019. I remember 2019, he was Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah.
Because he was in that triple threat with Roderick Strong and AJ Styles.
I think I might be referring to that one.
Yeah.
Can't recall who lost yet.
Oh, man. This pay-per-view...
I'm still picking Shinsuke.
Yeah, this pay-per-view has potential, I'm not going to lie. And especially in front of a live crowd, this pay-per-view has a lot of potential.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
I expect something big to happen.
Crazy.
I don't know what, though. I have this feeling, I don't know what it is, but I have a feeling something's going to happen.
If it has anything to do with The Rock, then I'm all for it. Let's move on to the next match. We've got the Tag Team Championship. Tag Team Champions versus Tag Team Champions. We've got RK-Bro versus the Usos. I'm tired of this RK-Bro nonsense, to be quite frank. And I feel like...
I love it, bro.
if Randy... Because it's Randy Orton. Like, Randy Orton does not play well with others. You know how many people Randy Orton has stabbed in the back throughout his career?
Yeah, but you're telling me you're not enjoying seeing what they're actually doing, like they promo-wise, you're telling me you're not enjoying seeing Randy and Riddle do what they do.
Okay, Riddle's funny. We've always known that. But, like, as a tag team, yeah. I know at some point, the thing is, Randy's going to stab Riddle in the back. And I know this is going to happen. I think every wrestling fan in the world knows this is going to happen. We just don't know when. I'm telling you.
What if Riddle backstabs him?
You never know. Any one of those two. But it's going to happen. These guys are not going to be a team like the New Day. They're not going to be a team forever. And so...
I think they did it because it's what the crowd wanted, you know?
Maybe. But then, let's look at their opponents. The Usos, the eight-time tag team champions at the moment. One of the best tag teams in the past decade.
Agreed.
I'm gonna go with the Usos on this one. Like, I don't care how much fun Orton and Riddle are having, and I don't care how much the fans want it. You can't beat 8-time tag team champions in a tag team match. It makes no sense. I'm gonna go with the Usos in this match.
Yeah, I think I'll go with the Usos too at that one.
Glad we can agree there.
Yeah, but it's gonna. I just enjoy seeing Randy and Riddle. Not gonna lie, how's their chemistry? Because Randy Orton's not used to this, so this is something new for him. You know.
I will say though, the contrast, like these, like you could not have two more different personalities in the same team. Like Riddle is so chilled and laid back and doesn't wear shoes, and Orton is so old school and traditional and is like. Like, if you're taking an old school 80s, like, out of the 80s type wrestler and pairing him up with an indie darling from the late 2010s, it's like, it does not make sense. It should not work, but it does. Maybe not as well as I hope it does, but it does work. I mean, I get it, though. I get it. I may not like it. I may not think it's great, but I get it.
Yeah, to understand that you can where WWE is coming from.
Yeah,
on this one
I do.
Let's. Yeah, but the bloodline should win.
Yeah, I want all of the bloodline to win. We're gonna get to that in a moment. Let's talk about the other match. This is maybe the match that I'm looking very forward to because of the rivalry. Because of the rivalry, because of the history.
This one goes back
years, bro. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair. Did you see the video package that they uploaded onto YouTube?
Yeah, I did. Oh, bro, man, it got me amped up.
That got me hyped. I wasn't interested in this match. I wasn't interested. And then I saw that package.
Until I saw that, then I'm like, I'm sold.
Like, guys, if you're watching Survivor Series this evening and you haven't seen that video package, do yourself a favor. Go and watch it. It's incredible. It's sort of behind the scenes slash promo package slash documentary. It's this documentary style behind the scenes capture of the rivalry between Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch. It is magnificent. It's probably the best form. It's probably WWE's best piece of video editing this entire year. Like, it is that good.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, I love it. And this,
I'm well with this one.
It's going to be tough to pick a winner. Right? My heart says Becky Lynch. My heart says Becky Lynch because hopefully this will turn her babyface. What I want here, I want Charlotte to go heel. Like, okay, she is heel, but I want this match to bring out Becky's babyface qualities. I want this match to turn Becky back into a babyface. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
That's what I want. That's all I want from this match. I want Becky Lynch to turn back into a babyface because this is stupid. I know that's what she wants. I know she likes being a heel, but it's dumb.
So remember, I don't think she's really a heel. You know, she's stuck in between. Yes, they are booing her.
Yes, she does.
But at the same time, there are people who are cheering for her.
Exactly. And you know what's going to make this match great? The real life tension. Apparently, these ladies have a little bit of heat. There's a real life beef between them, and so this is going to make this match interesting.
Goes beyond the ring.
It goes beyond the ring. It's going to be crazy to see how that manifests itself. But it's looking good. I'm not going to lie. The match is looking good.
If it was me, that would be my main event. No disrespect to the one that is the main event, you know. But this is the one I feel like everyone's talking about.
Yeah. Becky Lynch. I'm going with Becky Lynch in this match. I want her to get a very good babyface victory. And I want Charlotte Flair to just... I want Charlotte Flair to really, really, like, be so much of a prick that Becky Lynch becomes a face. That's what I want.
But I think it's going to be very difficult for Lynch to do that because... there's many baby faces that's like, look, for example, look at Liv Morgan. Is she not scheduled to face her next?
Yeah, I think there's a program between them next. So, that's the problem, right?
Like, yeah, you continue saying you can't have baby face versus baby face.
Not in the world, not in the main event feud, not in a world championship main event feud. No, definitely not. And so that's the problem here.
I think this match is just a clash of two egos, you know?
Yeah, I don't think we should put labels on this one. I don't think we should put heel and face labels on this one. This is just two women who actually have problems with each other settling the score in the ring. And so I'm expecting a very physical, shoot-like type of match where it's like, I don't care about this. I don't care about the crowd. I just want to beat you up.
I hear you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to go with Becky as well, you know.
Yeah. Imagine if Charlotte turns face, because I mean that's an option.
Do you think they would though?
It's far fetched, but it is a possibility. However tiny the chance is, it is still a possibility. You never know. And so it could be. I'm not gonna lie, it could be. It would be pretty interesting, though, because I don't think Charlotte Flair has been a babyface in her career, but she's never been, it's never been, like, she's never been...
It hasn't been taken well by anyone, I think.
It's never been, like, a massive thing. She's better off as a heel because of the position she has.
I think the last time it went well for her was at NXT, at the beginning.
Yeah, at the beginning of NXT, she was a babyface, and everyone loved her. And I think that's the last time. Yeah. That's the last time she was babyface. I think she was babyface a little bit in 2016. In 2016, when she first showed up on SmackDown, she was a babyface. Because I remember her father, Ric Flair, had a health problem, and there was a moment where she came to the ring and she said thank you to the fans and stuff like. There was a problem. There was a time where she was actually a babyface, and she did get crowd sympathy. She did get support from them, from the universe. But that was it.
That didn't last then.
Yeah, it didn't last well. It didn't last that much. Let's move on to the main event, the creme de la creme, which I'm not excited
NXT
for.
champion.
I'm not excited for as much. I'm not as excited as I should be, I guess, because there's no rivalry between Roman Reigns and Big E. There's no story. There's no rival. Oh, I guess you can say they've tried their best to build this up, because the Bloodline have just taken out Kofi Kingston this past few weeks on SmackDown. The Bloodline were like, "You, Kofi, come here," and they just decimated this guy's leg. And so I guess there's a story
They
there.
shouldn't.
And I like how they use King Woods in order to get. It's almost as if WWE have used King Woods as a sort of decoy to build the heat for Roman Reigns and Big E. You know what I mean? And so that's the fact that King Woods got entered into this feud. Because Big E is on Raw, it's sort of like we can't have Big E on SmackDown all the time. So King Woods, who's another New Day member we can attack? Oh, let's do Kofi Kingston. And so they attack Kofi Kingston, and that makes Big E angry. And then they attack King Woods, and that makes Big E even angrier. Do you get what I mean?
It's indirect involvement.
Exactly. I love it. I love this sort of facet of storytelling. It's beautiful.
They have to get creative with it, without directly involving Big E, because Big E has a thing with Seth now, so.
Exactly. I love that. And you never know, Seth might interfere. Given that Seth and Roman are, former Shield brothers, but also just maybe not even enemies at this point. And so you never know but does Roman Reigns need anyone else? I mean, he's got the Usos, does he need anyone else? If anyone needs anyone in this match, it's Big E, because King Woods might even be taken out. We haven't seen Kofi Kingston in what, a week and a half now? And so you never know. What if Brock Lesnar shows up in the picture and screws the Bloodline?
That's a possibility. I think that's a huge possibility.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room quickly. 'Cause I'm looking at this match list. I see Roman Reigns, then I see you with Paul Heyman. Do you think Paul might have something planned?
But what can Paul do, though?
I'm referring to Brock Lesnar. The context is Brock Lesnar. The question is Paul Heyman, but the context is Brock Lesnar. Because I still feel like those two are working together.
You think so?
Bro. DTA. DTA is maybe the most important rule in the wrestling business. Don't trust anybody.
Especially Paul Heyman, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but he's still stuck by him. He's still stuck with Roman Reigns.
Did you watch
Hasn't
Crown
done him
Jewel?
wrong up until
Did you
now.
watch Crown Jewel? I love that finish. I love. Did you, bro? Let's go back to the finish of Crown Jewel. Oh my goodness!
The belt down the middle.
Where he threw
Yeah.
the belt down the middle. He's like, "You know what to do," and I lost my mind. I'm like, "Oh my goodness! How?
Was like, oh, this is interesting.
Like, how do you make Paul? How do you make Roman Reigns dominant without making Brock Lesnar look weak?" And that's how you do it. And how with and without letting the cat out of the bag, without dropping that moment into the match. I love it. That match was
If
great.
anything, he just made it worse by doing that.
Dude, you never really know.
I love how they are grilling him, though. It's with the backstage interviews,
Yeah.
you know? I'm enjoying that.
Like Kate, I don't know if I haven't seen a Kayla Braxton segment. Is she still with the company? I'm not sure, but I like how
Yeah,
Kayla was
she's still.
grilling. I love how Kayla is grilling Paul Heyman every week. And Paul is like, will you let me, will you just leave me alone? I love
Don't you
that,
have
bro.
anything better to do?
Exactly. Like, do you not have anything better to do with your life than to constantly grill me about everything? I don't know what you want me to say. I love that aspect. And I love, because it gives Kayla a bit of personality. She's this annoying journalist who won't let go of the story. I love it. It's great.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out if Paul Heyman had to get involved with Brock Lesnar, like, how would that play out, especially for this match, you know? Because, like, Brock Lesnar just wants to face Roman, not Big E.
Yeah. And it's a really interesting... Brock Lesnar is not someone that's going to show up to every pay-per-view. We all know that, right?
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar does what Brock Lesnar wants to do. And so I don't think Survivor Series... I don't think we're going to see him on Survivor Series.
I didn't really think about that. Him getting involved, you know?
Yeah. And this is just a straight up... This is against Big E, right? I don't think Brock Lesnar's going to want anything to do with this match. Not if, like, it's just Big E and Roman Reigns. Let them fight. Let them sort it out, right? Let's wait till Roman Reigns is on SmackDown. Hopefully, with his guard down. And then we bring Brock Lesnar back into the picture. To sort of build to WrestleMania.
Yeah, but isn't he still serving a suspension?
I even forgot about that. He got fined $1 million. That's dumb. Like, I get that people know that Brock Lesnar makes $1 million pretty much every time he shows up to work. But
that's just one show's pay, bro.
That's one, easy. But like, that's easily one show's pay. And so it's like, okay, fine, yeah, I'll pay it. Like, Brock Lesnar doesn't worry about money.
Because he gets it in buckets.
He gets it in buckets, bro. He earns more in one... TV appearance than most people do, than most NXT guys or most, some even main roster people earn in an entire year. You know what pissed me off about the releases? And I think I mentioned that in that episode, was that WWE are saying budget cuts, are claiming budget cuts, yet they can pay Brock Lesnar up to $1 million for a show appearance. And look, I get it. He's Brock Lesnar, right? When you have the reputation that you do and you've been in the business as long as you have, you should get paid that amount. You deserve to earn that much because you are a big name. You are a box office name. But when they're claiming budget cuts as the reason that we have to fire so many people because we can't pay them, but you can pay Brock Lesnar $1 million just for showing up on Raw and doing nothing, not even cutting a promo, not even doing anything, just for him showing up. It makes no sense.
It didn't make zero sense.
And that's maybe the only, that's something that pisses me off a lot. It pisses me off a lot, and I really don't know why that happens.
What, realistically, what are biggest chances of winning this match at Survivor Series against Roman?
I mean, maybe 30%. Like, here's the thing. Roman Reigns is being built up to be the greatest of all time. They want Roman Reigns to be the best of the best, the cream of the crop. They want Roman Reigns to take over, to surpass John Cena and Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's what WWE wants. They want to put Roman Reigns on a level above some of the all-time legends, or all of the all-time legends.
And you can't blame them.
No, you can't, because you have a golden egg right now. So what do you do with a golden egg to make it better? I don't know. I'm messing up my metaphors here, but you have a golden opportunity. So take it. You already have, like, you have Roman Reigns, who's established, who's in the business, who's done his thing for years now. Turn Roman Reigns into a superstar. Turn him into a megastar. Turn him into someone with mainstream attraction, mainstream appeal. Make him the next Hulk Hogan.
And it looks like that's happening, you know?
Yeah. You hear all the references on SmackDown. Pat McAfee is calling him the greatest of all time. All of these things, tiny, tiny things that you need to you pay attention to, and you're like, yeah.
I am noticing it, you know. I do pay attention to these little details.
It's crazy to think about it. And so
who do you have to win? Obviously Roman, right?
Yeah, Roman's going over. But Big E's gonna look strong. I think Big E's gonna bring the fight of his life. He's gonna fall short, but they're gonna make Big E look strong. I don't think they're gonna punk Big E out just like that. They're gonna make him. Yeah, they'll make him look strong. Like they did with McIntyre last year. Remember when Roman Reigns lost to Drew McIntyre? McIntyre looked strong. Like it didn't feel like Roman just ran through him. And so I think that's gonna be
crazy, bro. Roman was Roman the champion back then as well, man.
He was the champion in 2020.
Crazy. And he's still the champion now. It's crazy.
Yeah. And you know what's funny now? He won the championship from didn't he win the championship from Braun Strowman or Bray Wyatt, who are both fired, who are both out of the company now? Like, it's so sad to just think about that.
Yeah, it is.
It is sad to just think about that.
Oh, it's budget cuts, bro.
It's budget cuts, exactly. You make $256 million in a quarter. Do you know how much I would give to make that much money in 10 years? This guy's making money in a quarter. Like, and you can't afford to pay your talent. That's ridiculous. I think that's going to be it for this episode. Like, we'll watch the pay-per-view tonight, and then we'll talk more about this. Is there anything you want to add before we wrap things up?
All I want to say is that I hope this pay-per-view is not disappointing.
I mean, we said the same thing about Full Gear, and Full Gear was awesome. I love Full Gear.
See, levels.
Levels. Yeah. I loved Full Gear. Hopefully I'm gonna love this pay-per-view as well. We've got some decent matches on here. I'm not gonna lie. The matches look decent, especially the singles matches. They look very decent. Still pissed about AJ being in that battle royal, but I'll be much better if he wins. I'll be much better if he wins. And
he should win because he has Omos with him in there, so the chances of him winning, I'd say, are pretty high.
Yeah, in fact, I'm gonna predict it right now. AJ's winning that battle royal. I forgot. Let's go. AJ's winning the battle royal.
I'll agree with you there.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to wrap up today's episode. As always, we hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, stick around. We will be bringing tons more episodes your way. If you'd like to follow us, reach out to us, you can do so on Instagram at Dropkicks Wrestling Podcast or on Twitter at Dropkicks_SA. As always, let us know what you think. If you've watched Survivor Series, if you're going to watch Survivor Series, let us know what you think about our predictions, about our discussion, and we'd love to talk to you. Shoot us an Instagram DM. Let's talk about this. Until next time, stay safe and God bless.